Well, that's a hell of an introduction. But also, following Jim is also another hell of an introduction, because Jim's talk kind of really explains some of the results that I'll be presenting to you today. So in a way, Jim, thank you. You did some of the mechanisms to explain some of my work, but I won't hold that up to you, but you still owe me a beer tonight. Okay, today I would like to talk a little bit to you about the ability of biochar to remediate acid mine spoils in the Pacific Northwest. Approximately 6 months ago, the USDA and the EPA entered into an interagency agreement that the EPA asked us to come in and see if we could use biochar and then design those biochars to try to improve the health of spoils. Now, if you hear me say soil instead of spoil, it's because I'm biased to one, but I have to start saying the other one. So please bear with me. But I also would like to give credit for the funds from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for making this study possible. This is a picture of Mark Johnson at the Formosa mine site to give you a background on it. It has a history of copper mining as a primary payable ore with minor amounts of silver and gold in there. As you see there, the mine tailings over the century was just basically pushed to the side. It is a mixture of tailings, crushed ore, and rock deposit in piles that were later spread. You can see the angle of repose here. I mean, that's pretty intense. One of the insidious things about it is that that particular rock has a lot of sulfides in it. So as you know, it turned pyrite, you end up with acid mine drainage. We saw some very beautiful examples of acid mine drainage, not to put that into a comic relief, but there is quite a bit of problems there. The goals that were established by the EPA was very simple. Get plants to grow. I need a plant cover. And the reason for that is because when you look at some of these mine spoils, them being exposed, you have quite a bit of erosion up there. Not only water erosion, but wind erosion. And as Jim pointed out, there's several pristine streams to this particular site within a couple hundred meters or a kilometer. So there's a possibility of some of that material moving off-site. So it was a very simple demand from the EPA, get plant cover on there. Well, when I made the trip out there, this is a picture of my hand, not to put some anthropomorphism in here, but these spoils were screaming for help. I mean, literally. You can see here the color of it and the rock. If you see some of the problems that I pointed out, it has coarse fragments here at the surface. There was poor water retention. The pH was less than 3. Metals, as was pointed out, copper and zinc when you end up in this particular area. Being a soil organic matter person, I could tell that this had low soil organic carbon content. And working with Christine Tripp here mentioned about the soil, poor soil microbial activity. The ARS puts a lot of emphasis on soil health right now, which if you define that very loosely, it means improving the bug's habitat and as well as improving the plant root habitat. So if you see here, we put emphasis on not only trying to get plants to grow, but then also trying to get the bugs to thrive. So I asked my ARS biochar team, along with an EPA colleague here, can biochar solve all these problems? If we mix the biochar in with these spoils, can we improve soil water retention? Can we improve soil fertility along with the microbiology and then solve some of these soil physics issues? So we collected some of that particular mine spoils. I'm going to walk you through this method. It's very simple, but I'll be pretty slow here. Here's the mine spoils. We did some preliminary experimentation. We found approximately 1% lime raised the pH to 7, which was a good area for us to work with. We added a little bit of poultry litter and the biochar. Now, the reason for that is coming from a partial soil biology background, you need two types of carbon in there for the bugs. Now, of course, you can argue this. You need an easily decomposable carbon substrate for those organisms. That would be added in the poultry litter. In addition, you need a long-term carbon source for some of those organisms to eat and also for weathering to occur for some type of binding to get some aggregates in here for hopefully improving retention of water. So you'll see here that we have 1% lime, some poultry litter, and then the biochar was added at between 0 and 30 kilograms, or grams per kilogram, excuse me. This was mixed together, put them in flower pots, and we chose plants that were biased to us. We tried to get plants that would grow at the site, but the seeds that were sent to us didn't germinate, so we quick had to go to plan B. We ended up planting white clover, wheat, and rye grain. It was done in the greenhouse for approximately 100 days. You could see it growing here. We collected the above-ground biomass. We sieved the soils to get the below-ground root process, dried those materials, digested them, and then looked at their metal uptake. That particular part of this project will not be presented. What the result is, we're going to see this and this presented shortly. And then we also will take a look and see the extraction of the treated mine soils with these amendments to what it did for the water-soluble calcium chloride and malic 3. If we look at some of the spoil background problems, as Jim indicated, yes, these areas were mined. What we did is we ran a total on these, and the first thing that jumps out at you is the copper and the zinc. Nickel, a little low, lead, there's lead in the system, there's not much cadmium. When you do the spoil by itself and look at the salt extraction, yes, you get copper and you get zinc out. When you do the malic 3, which we all know is the analog extractant for plant available, we have up to 61 here and 68 for zinc. That will stress a plant. So the object was, is how can we reduce these two and then to try to get plants to grow? So part of that was we chose a biochar, which based upon some preliminary work also has a lime capacity, but also has the ability to bind both of these. So we chose this biochar, which was a manure bedding material from dairy manure, and it was gasified at 800C. You see here it has, again, a high ash content, an alkaline pH, low O to C, indicating that it was lost quite a bit of material, and also the H to C ratio. I also put these up here because that's one of the current things about characterizing chars, reporting those ratios so that people can compare them. Oh, I'm sorry. How do I go back here? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's take a look at some of the soil pH improvements by simply adding lime and some of the other material. We'll see here that the initial we took and mixed in that 1% lime. You see here that there, yes, there was some a little bit of difference under the clover crop, under the rye, and under the wheat. The initial pH was 2.44, so that's what I meant by screaming for help. I put this in here as to embellish that point. Adding lime raised it to a pH of 7.5, which again is a little bit on the high side. That's something that we learned from this experiment. The pH increase was significant in spoil under all three crops related to the control. Now, if you do some of the malic 3 extractable metals, this is something else that caught our attention. If you look at the zero, and if we have a little bit of difference here, the control, and you look at the treatments, there's not a whole heck of a lot of difference. So what this told us is that the lime was very important for this system, as Jim pointed out, that a lot of these metals were tied up as either carbonate or oxyhydroxide species. So a person then can argue, well, then why did you add the biochar? Well, as if you look here, a person could say, well, your biochar really doesn't seem to help your system that much, whereas you simply could lime the system. Yes, that's true. But as I mentioned before, the biochar was added as a long-term carbon source. Also, Jim pointed out that eventually this lime is going to run out. So there's a possibility that once this lime runs out of its neutralizing capacity, the biochar then may serve as your secondary agent for metal tie-up. But I don't have results to prove that. That's just a speculation. So basically, the take-home message here is that the lime appears to have done a very good job of reducing the copper and the zinc to levels that are acceptable for plant growth. So as I said, one of my zeals here was to try to get plants to grow. Well, we can wrap this up in a little bit. Basically, what we found is that in the above ground biomass, we found a little bit of difference for the rye. We found no difference for the wheat. But then one thing that was important to us is that the clover responded to this pH problem. When I said it was a pH problem, is that we thought 7 was a good point. By adding the additional liming in the alkaline biochar, we raised the pH up to about 7.5. We saw those problems here with the clover. The clover was susceptible to phosphorus losses. Some of the leaves here, you'll see that they were turning purple. So what we learned here is that, yes, for these two crops, the lime helped along with some of the biochar, but it hurt it here. So we suspect that it's a pea availability issue. We saw that by looking at some of the leaves here were turning purple. When we look at the below ground biomass, we don't see that much difference either due to the biochar. Notice we get some differences here, but again, that's probably due to the liming effect. But what I'm pleased about here is that by simply adding lime to the system, we were able to remediate the spoils and get plants to grow. And as I said, we wanted to improve the soil health. I asked Kristen Tripp for some background information on this. We came in, she joined this experiment. At the end of the experiment, she sampled the soils. We sent them out to her. Some of this work is still preliminary. And if we look at some of her ideas about what we can do here, is can we change the interaction of the bug population by improving its health? She has a background to extract the DNA, and by using those particular qPCR techniques, she can see which amendment was the most effective at trying to get the particular community back to where it would be comparable to a pet-on close by, which was our background thing. So, again, this is preliminary work. We don't have that much results to be able to report to you, but other than that, she's working on it. If we look at the conclusions of this particular project, the spoil pH was increased simply using lime and the biochar. The biochar had minimal impact on reducing copper and zinc. The lime seems to have had a bigger effect. Again, that's suspected. But looking at Jim's data, you could see that the copper and zinc, when you get above pH 7 to 7.5, 8, it starts turning into carbonates and hydroxide species. Biochar had minimal impact on both above and below ground biomass, but yet, nonetheless, plants grew. Pea deficiency was observed, particularly affected our clover plants. The microbial characteristics are still being interpreted. I'd like to give a plug for the group that is working with us on this. This is a multifaceted project. Not only are we working with the fertility part, the chemistry part, the micro part is thing, but we're also working with the physics part here. I don't have any data on that physics yet, but that will be coming up here soon. And at this time, thank you for your attention. I will entertain any questions. Yes, sir. That's a very good question. Well, I can tell you, I'm not going to be around in 30 or 50 years. But based on paper and based upon the models that are showing that biochar, David Laird's work, that this particular type of biochar that's high gasified temperature, we did the NMR on it. There's about 70% aromatic carbon. I expect that biochar to be around for a while, but where it is in the profile or off-site, that's another question. But our logic was, like what you said, to put a carbon in there that would last longer. But, of course, the poultry litter I don't expect to last more than a year.
So the biochar then isn't really going to, it may serve as a niche for the microorganisms?
Yes, that I would consider that a long-term carbon investment. But how long that's going to last, that's the $64 million question.
Let me just add something. So one of the things that we're also considering is some lower temperature biochars that have volatile matter and they can serve that capacity also. So this is just one of, we have a big library of colors that we're going to throw at this problem and see how it goes. Sorry, Jeff.
Right. Yes, Paul one.
Tim, you knew that pH is very low. Why didn't you go for a high ash biochar in this case?
Well, this biochar has a fair amount of ash in it, and we did a side-by-side comparison test, but the lime we felt was better than the biochar at raising the pH because, as the literature is showing, the lime is quicklime, so it works immediately. In comparison, then, you have a weaker liming agent in that particular type of char. So my bias was to get the pH up first so that a plant would be able to grow. Now, I could be criticized because you saw that I probably got the pH a little too high. That's one of the things that we learned from this study. Yes?
One more. Go ahead.
So I think one of the benefits of the lime or the biochar over the lime that you had mentioned was increasing water holding capacity in the soil. Are there any plans to look at the soil for water retention?
Yes, but not, we didn't do that yet, but that's up next when we formulate more bigger plan for this.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.